Ella Williams, class of 2019, widely known on campus under her stage name Squirrel Flower, writes beautiful, ambient, and folksy music. She comes from a strong family background of musicians and has been making music since she was very young.
My dad is a professional jazz bass player, so it was really pretty easy for me to like have access to his knowledge of instruments and like access to instruments themselves. We have more instruments than furniture.
Last spring, Williams took a semester off to record her first full album, full of songs she had written in her fall semester in the cornfields of Iowa, and tour across the East Coast. Ella Williams' music is contemplative, lyrical, moody, and brimming with emotion. You can hear the inspiration she takes from the nature surrounding her, and you can hear the influences of folk artists like Laura Marling, Bon Iver, and Neil Young. I had the chance to sit down with Squirrel Flower last week to talk about her music, her family, and her experiences at Grinnell. So, I guess to start, when did you start making music?
I think I started writing songs when I picked up the guitar. And, like, I would learn covers of, like, Laura Marling and Bon Iver. This is when I was 14. And, like, some Neil Young stuff. Just, like pretty traditional folk music. So I would learn their songs just from like online chord charts, and soon enough I like started writing my own songs that, you know, they were pretty bad, but I was like trying to take elements from what I, like the songs that I loved and the songs that I had learned how to play, and then like make them my own sort of, and I've been writing music and playing ever since.
What do you think first drew you to folk music specifically?
Good question. I mean, I think like as a 14-year-old girl, a lot of the themes are very relatable. Mm-hmm. Or I was pretty angsty, and a lot of folk music sort of has more of a somber tone. Mm-hmm. But I just remember like listening to Laura Marling's music specifically and feeling like her lyrics resonated with me so much, and like she was able to articulate things with her music that I wasn't able to articulate, but I felt. And I loved like the soft guitar playing and, you know, the ability to hear like the subtleties and nuances of her voice because of the, you know, like, it's very, like, vocal-centric and less so about having, like, a loud rock sound or being danceable. And I think a lot of the music I write, it's centered around, like nuances and subtleties, and it's less about, like, having fun listening to it, so.
Do you feel like there's some angst that you put into your folk music as
well? Well, definitely when I first started out. I mean, I've had a lot of people tell me that they think my music is sad. I kind of resent that, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely more on the somber side, but I mean, I try to write about things that are not necessarily inherently sad or angsty, but that, you know, are like introspective and, I guess, like, delicate, almost. So I can see how that could be perceived as, like, sad or angsty.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely say that your music doesn't come off as sad, but rather, like, very pensive. In your tags on, your Bandcamp site, there's a lot of funny ones like Cornfield Folk and Post Monsanto.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was great. Do you feel like living in Grinnell has influenced your music a lot?
Definitely. I mean, I wrote that whole album, so I'm a second year and I wrote the album last year, my first semester here. I think all of the songs I wrote here, and I wrote them I was inspired to write them all because, like, I had never... It was such a new experience for me. Like, I grew up in Boston, and I traveled a fair amount as a kid and, like, through high school, but I don't think I was necessarily ready to be in college, and, like, also in the middle of nowhere that feels, like, really, really far from home. And at this point, I absolutely love being in the middle of Iowa, but I was really struggling a lot with it. I missed home a lot. I, like, felt really connected to Boston in a way that I didn't feel connected to Iowa. And that album was sort of me, like, you know, working through that. And a lot of the songs just came out. You know, like, I would sit down, I didn't write them with the intention of publishing them. I would just sit down in my room and, like, sort of improvise and try to sing, I guess, just, like, what was on my mind and try to, like, talk about my experience here. So then I took the spring semester off because I decided I wanted to record these songs and sort of, like, develop my music career. So I went home and recorded the album and played a lot of shows in Boston. And then over the summer, I went on tour from Boston to Richmond and stopped in most of the East Coast cities along the way there.
What was that experience like? Because you don't have a label or anything,
no,
right?
No, it was self-released.
So I would expect that a lot of the responsibility of managing a tour and booking
it
shows
was all
falls
me.
To you.
Yeah,
how
I did
that?
All of it. It was a lot of emailing. it was definitely really hard work and pretty stressful, honestly. It was the first tour I've ever planned. I didn't go into it knowing too much about how musicians tour. So I think I waited, I started planning it about a month before I left, which I now know is a huge mistake. And it's incredible that I got to play as many cool shows as I did. But yeah, I borrowed my mom's car. My little brother, who I'm really good friends with, came with me, and my friend from home came with me. Because, you know, it's like pretty unsafe for me, I think, to like travel alone. I also don't have a smartphone, so I had to like bring my friend who has one for GPS purposes and other purposes. But it was really fun. Yeah, we tried to do it as low budget as possible, but I made a good amount of money at all of the shows. And
I guess another thing I wanted to ask about was the experience of taking a semester off to tour and record and then coming back. How has the coming back been, especially if the first few semesters were sort of difficult as well?
Yeah, you know, I thought it would be harder than it was. It was actually, like, so easy. it felt so good to be back here. Like, I came back because I wanted to be here, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I'd thought about maybe not coming back at all, or transferring to a school that had, like, a more vibrant music scene or was located in the city. And then I just did a lot of thinking about, like, Grinnell as an institution and, like, what it could offer me, and I came back so excited. And I've had a great time. I've had a really good year. It's definitely really challenging for me to balance wanting to, like, make music and make art all the time with, you know, having to write papers and go to class and be an academic student. But I think I've, like, really learned this year how to balance that. Squirrel Flower is, well, it's, like, currently what I'm doing. I've thought about maybe just going by my name in future endeavors, but
I love Squirrel Flower. It's a great name.
I like it too. Like, it's pretty meaningful to me. When I was a kid, like, had this weird, like, alter ego for myself, and it was Squirrel Flower. So I don't know.
Oh, so it didn't just start at Grinnell?
No. Okay. It was like this, like, code name and, like, secret thing. I don't really know. Like, kids are weird. But, yeah, so it's sort of just, like, been part of me for a while, and it felt fitting. It just feels good. Like, I just have to do it. My process for songwriting, like, when I write my own solo stuff, is, like, I don't really have a process. I go for, like, 2 or 3 months without writing anything, and then all of a sudden I end up just writing, like, a ton of music, and it just comes out, and I don't really think about it. But also sometimes it's more of a process than that. It just really depends. But, I mean, it sounds pretty cheesy, but it's really just, like, I can't not do it. It's how I express myself. It's how I, you know, reason with experiences that I have, or don't have, or want to have.
What inspires you, or what is rewarding about making music that is neither fun nor sad?
Good question. I've, like, sort of been not writing as much lately, but then, I think it was Tuesday morning? Yeah, Tuesday morning, I woke up, and I was half asleep in my bed, and I, like, this, like, song idea just, like, started playing in my head, and I was like, holy shit, I need to, like, get up and write this down. Like, this is the first time, like, this has happened in so long. And I worked with it, and, like, it wasn't a full song, it was just, like, a very, like, small snippet, and then I ended up just, like, working with it and, writing, like, the first lyrics that came to me, that sounded good, and I wrote a song in, like, 5 minutes, and it's, like, I, like, feel really good about it. It's, like, I think one of the best songs I've written in a while.
I think that sharing music definitely takes a lot of confidence, and, you know, taking a semester off to, like, jump out there and try to get heard also takes a lot of confidence. Where do you think that confidence comes from for you?
I don't know. I think I've always had it. I think I just don't think a lot about what other people are doing or, like, thinking about me in, like, in negative ways, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I think I just, like, don't I don't want to say I don't care, because that sounds weird, but I don't think about why I wouldn't be doing it. I know that it's, like, what I want to do for myself, and, like, I know that people like my music, but it's not even about that. It's about the fact that, like, I have something that I really want to share with people, and I don't know.
Do you think it comes from being surrounded by musicians and artists as well?
I think that could be part of it. Like, I definitely, I mean, I was raised to be really confident. I was raised, like my parents instilled in me that, like, anything I did was valid, and I think that's a huge part of it. Because, like, they themselves are pretty alternative people. They don't really, like, play into gender norms a whole lot. They're just, like, super supportive and, like, raised me to be confident in whatever I'm doing, I think. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of my extended family on my dad's side, has lived or currently lives in an artist's co-op in Stony Point, New York. It's, like, about an hour outside of New York City. And it was founded by John Cage and Merce Cunningham and, like, Jasper Johns and people who spent a lot of time at Black Mountain College. And then Black Mountain College shut down in the 50s, and a lot of the professors there moved to this co-op in New York because they were able to, you know, do their art and music in New York City and then live in this, like, intentional community in the woods with, like, Bauhaus architecture. And so, like, I spent a lot of time there as a kid, and I just know so many people in my family and also just, like, other people that live there that have lived, like, alternative lifestyles like that. And, like, I take that as normal, and I think that is a huge factor for me, like, going and doing it, you know? Yeah. Because I see that it's possible, and I see that, you know, most of my family has done it, so.
What was the experience of hanging out in a co-op as a little kid like, and sort of what did you think of it when you were younger?
Well, we called it the land. We still call it the land. Everyone that lives there calls it the land. it's not, like, obviously a co-op. You drive in, and it's on this hill, and there are just so many trees, and it's so beautiful. And I think there are about 15 to 20 houses, but they're all pretty spread out. And, like, my cousins and aunt and uncle lived in one house, and then, like, my grandma lived on the top of a hill in another house, which was John Cage's house, actually. And it was just really nice. Like, that, I would just love spending time there. But I didn't... It was just, like, the place where all my family lived, you know? I didn't really know about the history until high school. And then I started researching it. And I got really into it. And it made a lot of sense that I, like, have that legacy in my family. I've, like, thought about maybe living there. But who knows what will happen.
The question that I usually finish off with is, what is on the horizon and what's the dream?
Okay. Well, like I said, I'm planning on recording an album this summer. The plans aren't super finalized yet, but... I'm really excited about it. It's a really cool opportunity. And I have, you know, a whole lot of songs that I wrote this year that really tell, you know, similarly to how the other album told the story of my experience last year, these songs tell the story of my experience this year, but in a way that's not, I mean, in a way that I hope is not very self-indulgent. I'm really excited to like track them and make arrangements for them and sort of just like keep developing a sound that feels good for my songs. I guess the ultimate dream would be to be able to like have a financially stable career or like be able to do my music and art in a way that like I don't have to have a day job. That would be ideal and like pretty sweet. And yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can listen to more of Ella Williams's music online at squirrelflower.bandcamp.com and stay on the lookout for new recordings coming out this summer. Thank you for listening.
Someone said it made them feel like they were underwater, like peacefully floating, you know, when you like go underwater and you like hold your breath and you're just still. And my music isn't necessarily fun. I think it's important
but it's
to like
sad.
Have both. It's not sad, but it's not necessarily fun. It can be fun, depending on your idea of fun.